Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Continuing with our study of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, we find Jesus in Jerusalem immediately before his crucifixion. Jesus had just pointed out the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees who through their actions shut most people out of the kingdom of God. They interpreted the law of Moses in a way that favored them and made other people look bad. Relishing in all of the positive attention they received, they thought of themselves as righteous when Jesus was sharing with them that they were hypocrites. Looking back thousands of years ago, we think of hypocrisy as the actions of these scribes and Pharisees, and Jesus warned his disciples then, and by extension, he is warning us today to avoid the leaven, the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. We cannot appear as righteous to other people while inwardly we are evil. We cannot focus on the smaller matters of the Bible while ignoring judgment, mercy, and faith. Because the Pharisees and scribes did focus on the smaller matters of the Bible, they paid tremendous attention to tithing. Fast forward thousands of years, and sadly, money is still a big motivator for too many churches, and these churches focus on the amount of money that is given instead of focusing on the person who is given the money. It was with this recent exchange with the scribes and Pharisees that while Jesus was near the treasury of the temple, he observed all manner of people donating to the temple. And Jesus noticed that the wealthier somebody was, the more money they donated. He also noticed a widow who donated a very small amount of money. Jesus then went on to explain the difference between the two. Jesus showed that when the rich were donating, they were donating from their wealth. And while their wealth funded their lifestyle, their donation had little impact on their life. The widow had no wealth to fund her lifestyle, and when she donated, whatever she donated, even a small amount impacted her lifestyle. Jesus then explained that even though this widow gave a very small dollar amount, the amount of money she gave had a much bigger impact on her personal life. And to Jesus, this widow had given more. The rich were using money as a tool available to them to donate. Most of us, when we use a tool around the house, it doesn't impact our quality of life. It's a resource we have available to us. This widow had to sacrifice to donate, and to Jesus, this means so much more. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto them his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast unto the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Jesus then left the temple, and on his way out stopped briefly with his disciples to look at the buildings of the temple, and told them there would come a day when the temple buildings would no longer stand, and today in Jerusalem there is not a temple. These words of Jesus did come true and stand as a testament that even today we can easily verify as true. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The thought of the temple buildings being destroyed was concerning to the disciples, who privately later approached Jesus as he was on the Mount of Olives. They wanted to know when the temple would no longer be, what would be a sign of the return of Jesus Christ, and what would be a sign of the end of the world. Today, this is information we still want to know. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, privately saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus first warned the disciples against deception. He told them to let no man deceive them. He added that many would be preaching about Jesus Christ and that many would be deceived. For these words of Jesus to be true today, many people must be deceived. And the most arrogant response we can have is to presume other people are deceived. We need to examine ourselves to make sure we are not deceived. We need to separate interpretation of what is in the Bible from what is in the Bible. We need not to follow the words of any man, but the words of the Bible. And that means we need to know what is in the Bible. And we can only do that by reading and studying the Bible, asking God the Father to help us grow in grace, knowledge, and understanding. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Jesus then added that the end of this world would be punctuated by wars and rumors of wars. Today, we do live in a time that has armed conflict. We also live in a time where propaganda is used to perpetuate the Cold War and feelings of hostility between countries. Today, rumors of wars seems to outpace armed conflicts, and with all of this, the end is not yet. In addition to the wars and rumors of wars, would be famines. Even in a country like the United States, we recently found that all it takes is a pandemic to make food hard to find. Thankfully, the pandemic did not horribly disrupt the food supply, but I think we all know how easily this could happen. We have seen pestilences like COVID-19, SARS, swine flu, HIV, and increases in cancer. Earthquakes and other natural disasters are hardly ever out of the news. This is not the finality of the situation. This is only the beginning of sorrows. Verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus went on to tell his disciples at the time of the beginning of sorrows that his followers would be delivered to the authorities because of their beliefs and that hatred would soon follow. He added that at this future time, many would be offended, betray, and hate one another. Today, we live in a time when all manner of personal expression is allowed. And yet, we also live in a time where attempts to relate biblical teachings on manners of personal expression is often met with offense and charges of hatred. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. It is during this time of the beginning of sorrows that many false prophets will arise and deceive many. We live in a time when there is no scarcity of people teaching about biblical prophecy. We are warned of these false prophets who will deceive many. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. This time of the beginning of sorrows will be a time when sin will be everywhere. Sin will be such an integrated part of the human experience that it will not be seen for the evil that it is, and this will cause the love of many to grow cold. Jesus had earlier shared in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, that the great commandment in the law was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second great commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. Because sin takes away love, when sin abounds, love grows cold. Jesus shared that at this time of the beginning of sorrows, that people who endure to the end will be saved. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus told his disciples that before he would return, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world to all nations. He warned them of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, and that when this abomination was seen by those in Judea, they would need to immediately flee to the mountains, not attempting to save any physical possessions. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Jesus went on to share that this future time of sorrows would be challenging for pregnant mothers and families with small children. He told the disciples to pray that their flight not be in the winter or on the Sabbath day. It is at this point, immediately after the abomination of desolation and the fleeing from Judea, that there will be a time of incredible and great trouble that has never been seen before by mankind, that this time of trouble would be the most challenging and difficult time on planet Earth. Jesus added that it would be impossible for anyone to physically survive this time of trouble unless the length of time of this time of trouble would be shortened, and that solely for the elect's sake, those called and obeying God the Father, the days would be shortened. Verse 19. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Jesus told his disciples thousands of years ago, serving as a warning for those alive during this time of great trouble, that people will lie about Jesus. He shared some would claim to be Jesus Christ, and others would act as a false prophet, with some even to show great signs and wonders that just about everyone except for God's elect will believe. Jesus is sharing this information in advance so nobody is deceived. When Jesus returns, he will not be found in an isolated part of the desert or a cave. When Jesus returns, it will be as obvious as sunrise. Unless we are asleep, it will be hard to miss sunrise. Just as it is easy to know where a dead animal is by looking to the sky and see circling eagles, it will be just as easy to know when Jesus returns. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Jesus added that immediately after this great tribulation, the sun would be darkened, the moon would not give her light, and stars would fall from heaven. This trifecta of heavenly signs would shake the power of heaven. Exactly how the sun would be darkened, the moon not give her light, and how stars would fall from heaven is not given. Some have speculated that these could be the result of massive fires burning on earth after the great tribulation, blocking both sun and moonlight and preventing the stars from being seen at night. Others have speculated that it could be the combination of both a solar and lunar eclipse during a meteor shower. We can speculate, but we do not know. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. It is at this time of these heavenly signs that the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, which would cause the tribes of the earth to mourn. Jesus does not elaborate what this sign would be. The only sign he gave that he was the Messiah was that he would be in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. We could speculate that Jesus was referring to the constellation Cetus, the well, which is a constellation that is best seen in the northern hemisphere in late fall and early winter, but that makes its appearance in September, and that Jesus could be providing a time frame regarding time of year. But we do not know. Jesus does add that the angels would gather the elect from around the world. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus provided another parable, this of the fig tree, showing that we all know that when we see the leaves and new growth on a tree in the spring, we know that summer will soon be here. Jesus added that the generation living during this time of great trouble would live to see everything that Jesus talked about. And the generation would not die out before all of what he spoke about came to pass. How long is a generation? To put that in perspective, consider this. Last week in the United States, the last person receiving a pension from the United States Civil War era died, about 155 years after the conclusion of the war. When Jesus says something will happen, it will happen. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, When you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus added that only God the Father knows the timing of when Jesus will return, and shared that the time of his return would be like the days of Noah, where people lived their life not realizing what was going to happen. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus showed that half of the people would be taken by the Son of Man, and as we live our life, instead of living a life of ignoring the reality of the return of Jesus, that we are to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ because we do not really know when Jesus will return. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus concluded this prophetic session with his disciples, not talking about fine points of prophecies, but what his followers must be doing to be found worthy at the time of his return. We must not think that Jesus is delaying his coming and use that as an excuse to exploit others. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The account recorded by Luke provides additional details, including that followers of Jesus would be betrayed by immediate family, relatives, and friends. Luke chapter 21, verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. We know from Luke that what was described as the abomination that makes desolate is an army encircling Jerusalem, ready to go to war. Verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck, in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke adds that in addition to the heavenly signs, the sea and waves will be very strong. We don't know what is causing the strong seas and waves. It could be the result of a high tide, a storm like a hurricane, or any combination. Luke adds that Jesus will return in a cloud. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus also warned his disciples to not be overtaken by the cares of this life, and instead be focused on being counted worthy to escape this time of trouble. Verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out, and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Jesus would go on to explain more about how to escape the time of trouble in Matthew 25 by first comparing his followers to 10 virgins, 5 of whom were foolish and 5 of whom were wise. The wise virgins had bought oil for their lamps, and the foolish virgins had not done so. All made the mistake of slumbering and sleeping, and yet when the bridegroom came at midnight, it was the wise who were able to find their way to meet the bridegroom. They did not have enough oil to share with the foolish virgins, who had to go buy oil for themselves and arrive late to the marriage and found themselves unwelcome. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus then compared the kingdom of God to a man traveling to a far country, who before leaving divided some money among the servants, giving 5 talents to one servant, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to a third servant. Each was given according to their abilities. The servant who was given 5 talents had earned 5 more talents through business deals. And the servant who was given 2 talents also doubled his talents by earning 2 additional talents. The servant who was only given 1 talent was fearful, and instead of doing anything with the talent, hid the talent in the ground. When the servant returned, he was very pleased with the growth in talents by the first 2 servants, each of whom were generously rewarded, and disappointed by the servant who had hid the 1 talent. The man took the talent from the 1 servant and gave it to the servant who had 10 talents, explaining that those who grow will be given even more. In this example, we are to grow spiritually, not monetarily. God the Father and Jesus Christ are most concerned with our spiritual development, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I could have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus returns in his glory, sitting upon the throne of glory, Jesus shared that he will separate people as a shepherd divides sheep from goats. In this parable, the sheep are placed in the position of honor and will inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus had just given a preview of what the world will be like immediately before his return in Matthew chapter 24. And if we want to be found worthy to be in the kingdom of God, we must be like the sheep of this parable and not the goats. Qualities that Jesus identified as making a person a sheep is the willingness to feed the hungry and give water to the thirsty, welcoming strangers and visitors, helping clothe people lacking clothes, visiting people sick or in prison, because when we are willing to help people in need, it is like we are willing to help Jesus. The goats divided on the left would have been only willing to help Jesus in this time. If we want to be counted as the righteous, if we wanted to be counted among the sheep and go into everlasting life, we must be willing to help other people. If we are unwilling to help others, Jesus shares, we will not have eternal life. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. With these final thoughts in place, it was time to prepare for the Passover, the final Passover that Jesus would humanly spend with his disciples. By this time, Jesus very well knew he would soon die. The scribes and Pharisees had been trying for months to find a reason to legally have Jesus put to death. Jesus was attracting many followers beyond the 12 disciples and was proving to be a threat to the religious establishment. Soon, the religious establishment would have their wish. Jesus again reminded his disciples that he would be betrayed and crucified. Matthew 26, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Knowing that the Passover was near, and the desire to kill Jesus remained, Caiaphas the high priest, along with the chief priests, elders, and scribes, met at the home of Caiaphas to determine how and when they might take Jesus. They knew they could not take him on a feast day because it would be problematic for the people, especially those who followed Jesus. The last thing the religious elite wanted was a revolt by the people, because a revolt would be seen by the Romans as a weakness, and that would undermine their authority with the Romans. Verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. While this debate was occurring on how and when to take the life of Jesus, Jesus was with his disciples at the house of Simon the leper. Back when Jesus was alive, virtually all people would avoid a leper. Up until recent history, there were even leprosy colonies to isolate people with the disease. Today, we know leprosy is caused by bacteria and is easily cured, with the World Health Organization providing tens of millions of free doses to help control the disease. When Jesus was saying to visit the sick, he wasn't just talking about giving chicken soup to somebody with a common cold, but to not shun people because of their afflictions. It was in this setting at the house of Simon that a woman came to Jesus with an alabaster box of very expensive ointment, and she began to apply the ointment to Jesus. This caused indignation with the disciples, who thought this ointment should be given to the poor. They were probably recalling how Jesus described how people will be divided as sheep and goats, and how the sheep cared for the less fortunate, and how his followers must be willing to do the same. Having extra money to do this makes it easier. When Jesus understood the disciples were indignant, he explained to them that this woman was preparing Jesus for burial. He shared that though his time with them was quickly going away, the poor they would always have with them. And Jesus wanted the actions of this woman to be recorded as a memorial by all who preach the gospel. Verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath both poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Understanding that Jesus thought his time was drawing to a close, and not having an expensive ointment to sell, Judas Iscariot decided to go to the chief priests to see how much he could get by selling Jesus to them. After bargaining back and forth, they agreed on 30 pieces of silver, a sum of money, but not a considerable sum of money. It was from that time on that Judas sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. As we continue the study into the life of Jesus next week, we will see the final Passover Jesus spent with his disciples and the New Testament symbols he implemented. We will also see that even though Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit and had access to God the Father, even to Jesus, the thought of his impending death was emotionally challenging. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.